This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. Well, I am honored to be here to stand before you. I give honor to Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, and my King, who I want to please today, and I want to represent Him well. I want to acknowledge our President, Dr. Jones, and I really appreciate your words this morning. And in your presence, I want to thank you for continuing to strive to make us look, act, live like we're going to be around the throne. To our executive officers, to our deans, to my colleagues, faculty, staff, employees everywhere on this campus of CIU, and to students that I'm standing before you, I am honored to be here, and I praise God for the opportunity. To the African American Student Association, thank you for inviting me to come to share. I'm very humbled. You could have asked any preacher to come to share, and I'm humbled by that. I'm also nervous. I don't know how you do this, Dr. Jones. I really don't. To stand here and share often weekly, and all of those who speak on a regular basis, you know, it looks easy, but it really isn't. To stand here, and I've asked for more prayer support this week. I usually ask my church prays for me every week, and I'm so grateful. I do see one of my deacons back there, Deacon Diggs. Did you raise your hand? He came and heard this morning when we were together this morning about my speaking, so he came to support. But my church prays for me every week, but I had to ask for some more support because this is different than being preaching at the church. And, you know, I don't understand why I'm a pastor. I preach every Sunday, but if I can state what I think it is, it's because as a student of CIU, I have professors here that I've studied under, and I want to represent them well, that their labor was not in vain. As an employee here, I have layers of bosses that are watching me right now, and I want them to give me the nod of you've done well. I have colleagues as a faculty member that I want to represent them well as I stand here. And for you students, while you're listening to me, this is a high honor because of CIU and what we're training to do here. Some of you are here as you are being prepared and as you are discovering God's specific plans and purpose for your life, placement of ministry, areas of offices and leadership roles. And so it's important that you hear and important that I represent and present God's word well. But then there are those who are in ministry and you're coming back to be recalibrated and refined, so that you can be a sharper instrument for the Lord. And so that's why I think my nervousness is a little bit heightened. But I feel better today because my wife is here. And when she's here, everything is better. I have somebody who will say amen when I do well. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I also have somebody when I don't do well, she'll tell me what I did wrong. But she said, oh, you'll get better. So I feel better that my wife is here. And so when I look at this podium, I'm really trying to envision it to make it look more like the pulpit at my church so I can feel a little bit more comfortable. But the Lord is here. I've been asked to share on the subject of the gospel in diversity. And the passage that we're going to look at this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you don't mind turning there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm just going to read a few verses here to engage in our discussion, in our sharing of this concept of the gospel in diversity. I believe as I've been praying and pouring into the Word of God, this passage helps, at least helps me to explain and understand this concept. Let me read verses 12 to 14 and then 18 to 27. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Verse 18 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Lord, be with me. Speak through me. How interesting it is that God would choose in his sovereign and wise plan to use diversity to accomplish his unifying purpose of proclaiming the gospel amongst the nations for all of humanity. There is this unifying purpose of the gospel. The gospel is one message. The gospel comes from one God. The message is of one person, Jesus Christ, who came, lived perfectly for 33 years, died for our sins, was buried and rose again, providing the means by which we can be saved. Christ's sacrifice once and for all made it possible for man to be saved. And through, by, and in Jesus Christ, God chooses to use one vehicle by which this one message is communicated and displayed. He chooses to use the church, the body of Christ, one body, one message about one Savior from one God, using one vehicle, the church. But there is diversity in the church. Diversity is that we're many members. The gospel being communicated. One message, but we are many. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, this is Christ's way. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. To use diversity to accomplish a unifying purpose, it should not surprise us as we think about God, and we see to try to understand this paradoxical concept. God himself, being one, exists in three persons. One in essence, but three persons, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, operating in distinction, but still one. We even struggle with this concept, but it is truth. It's foreign to our thinking, but scripture bears it out. How can one God be three persons? It's clear, though, in scripture. We see this concept in another form that God created in the institution of marriage. two individual people come together and make one. Only in God's math does this make sense. Two become one. Not two half people, but two whole people in Christ. Individual become one person. A man and a woman. Amen. Becomes one in Christ. Take, for example, the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. He is fully man, but he's also fully God at the same time. Two distinct natures, but a union in the person of Jesus Christ. How about the concept of being in Christ and Christ in us? Abiding in him and he abides in us. We are one. This is God's way. Or maybe even the Bible itself, that the Bible over the span of 1500 years was written by 40 plus authors, but yet and still it has a seamless message about God. It shouldn't surprise us. And then you can't bring together a more diverse group than the disciples that Jesus called. And they become the foundation of the household of God, along with the prophets, where Jesus is a chief cornerstone. It shouldn't surprise us. This is his MO, that he uses diversity, but still in unity. In his passage, Paul, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, picks up this concept of oneness out of diversity. He's addressing a concern in the first century church because even though they were diverse, they were different, but they ought to be unified, but they were divided. That's what the book of 1 Corinthians really is addressing. Paul is concerned because they're divided. Some say I'm of Apollo, some say I'm of Paul, I'm of Jesus Christ. He says, who are any of these except for Jesus? They were divided about a man who in chapter 5 sleeping with his father's wife and what to do about that. They were divided about taking each other to court and having trial against each other. They were divided about what marriage should be about. They were divided about even what to do when they come together to have communion. They were divided. They were divided in the fact that some had certain gifts that were emphasized over others. And because they had certain gifts, they would emphasize those gifts more than the others, devaluing the other gifts of the body of Christ. They weren't functioning as one. And in verse 25, Paul says there was schism. There should be no schism in a local fellowship. There was division. This word schism means division. It means a rending, something that is torn apart that should have been whole and seamless, not disjointed, not separated. And what illustration does Paul use to help this fragmented group of believers? He captures this concept using the human anatomy, something each of us and something each of them should be able to comprehend, the body. When our bodies are healthy and functioning as it should, it moves with precision. Poetry in motion, harmoniously, without incident. There are many parts, but it's still one. But what if some of the parts stop functioning with the rest of the body? What if some parts refuse to cooperate or decides to go their own way? What if some parts say they can't fellowship with the others because they are too different? What if there's enviousness and jealousy setting in? What if some parts feel other parts are inferior and have no value to the body? What if part of the body decides, I don't need any other parts. All I need is the head. I don't need to join the fellowship. I don't need to join the body of believers. Just me and the head. All I need is Jesus. and I'll be all right. What if the foot said, I don't need the rest of you. Just give me the head. How freakish would that look? A foot attached to the head. Talking to Jesus, we're going to have a kicking good time. What is that? What would that look like? When the body functions the way it's designed to function, it's one body, but many members, unified in diversity. And we can accomplish God's unified purpose if we are together. One message from one God about one Savior carried through one vehicle, the body of Christ. But how does this work? Because you and I are different. We're diverse. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different churches. We come from different cultures. We have different gifts. We have different passions. We have even different styles of worship. We will even travel to different parts of the world when some of you graduate and leave here. How can we be so diverse but yet be unified? Well, in this passage, there are several elements that we can see that are required in order for us to be one. Linchpins, if you will, if you're looking at it mechanically, but if we're sticking with the illustration of Paul, joints that would keep us together. Number one, when to be unified in the purpose of the gospel, to work even though we're diverse, we have to realize that we all come and everything is given by the same source. That's what the scripture says in verse 4 of chapter 12. There are diversities of gift, but the same spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. We see the Trinity here, but it's the same source. Who of any of us can boast about what we have when all of it is given? And each of us receives from the same source. None of us can say that we came up with this idea, that it's our plan, that it's our way, and our way is original and the right way, so therefore you have to conform and be like and do what we do. If it all comes from the same source, none of us can say we have a monopoly on how to do ministry. How can we boast if it didn't come from us? It comes from the same source. That's a unifying theme, that all the gifts that we have and everything that we can do, all the energy, all the talent, all of the ability, all the knowledge comes from God. That's joint number one. You know, I was struggling with using this word joint in light of some of the policy change and law changes in our country. I just want to throw a little word in. Just because it's legal don't mean you should engage. And I know somebody might be from Colorado. I'm just trying to. What happened to say no to drugs? What happened to that? Same source. Secondly, another joint, another element. We all should have the same purpose. We can't walk together unless we are in agreement about what we're trying to accomplish, to proclaim the gospel, to glorify God, to bear fruit. This is how he's glorified, that we bear much fruit. Then we can work together. An orchestra is full of different instruments with their own distinct sound. But when each instrument is played skillfully using the same song as its unifying theme, it sounds so harmonious. Our purpose is to glorify God, to worship Him, to fulfill His purpose, to proclaim the gospel, the same message about the same Savior. How do we get into the body of Christ? Well, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." It was by one Spirit who used one message that we all had to believe. It was the gospel. And it's that very purpose by which we are being trained and equipped to share with the world. What did Jesus command when he departed his disciples? He says to proclaim one message, make disciples, be his witness, one gospel. There's only one way to get to heaven, one door, one shepherd. There's only one truth, that Jesus is Lord. There's only one life, life in Christ, eternal life in knowing Christ. We have one purpose, the same purpose. The third element, we ought to recognize our need for one another. Verse 20 and 21 tells us, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." We ought to recognize that we have a need. We need each and every member of the body. We need each and every ministry, each and every church. Not just looking at it from within your local church. That we often look at this verse and we just think about our local fellowship, but we need to understand that our local fellowship is not the body of Christ in its entirety. It's all of the churches, little c, that makes one big church. And we need every ministry. We need every church. Even if there are five churches on the same block, if they belong to Jesus Christ, we need every church. And we come from the same source. We can agree on the same purpose. If we can overcome the minor differences, but can agree on the major fundamentals, the tenets of our faith. If we overlook the differences of our leadership model. Mine is from a Baptist persuasion says, yes, senior pastor and associate ministers and deacons, and this model works for the kingdom. But you say, no, from my perspective, we want a plurality of leaders and elders. Or you say, well, no, we need apostles. Presbyterians, elders, and so forth. It really, if we can get beyond that, and if we can focus on the fact that it's one God with one purpose, and we can focus on the major fundamentals of the faith, we can accomplish much. If we can recognize that we need each other in our ministries to thrive at proclaiming the gospel to preach to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to give sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, if we can agree on our purpose, I can't say of you, I don't need you. You can't say of me, you don't need me. Because when we all get around the throne, even though we are often siloed here, we're going to see how it all is put together. That people of every tongue and every nation, even in their own distinct worship styles, are going to blend in such a way that it's going to be so harmonious. And we'll be praising him in unison. Element number four. If we value each other and value our contributions, what we bring to the table. Verse 22 to 24 says it this way. "No much, rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty." Notice these words. He says they seem to be, but they really aren't of lesser value. That we think they're less honorable, but they really aren't lesser in honor. But if we see that what we have as we come to the table together, and each of what we have can contribute to the whole, then we'll be joined together. Nobody feels like they don't have anything to contribute to this gospel. A major problem is our view of one another. If we view others as inferior to ourselves, we diminish their value because they're different. But even worse, if we in our own selves don't recognize that God is giving something of us to contribute, each of us has a gift. Each of us have a talent. Each of us has something that we can contribute. If we don't see that in ourselves, that we can bring something to the table, then we'll diminish and not operate and not function. That's why we need to know what our gifts are. We need to know what we're called to. How can we walk worthy of the calling with which we're called if we don't know what we're called to? That's one of the things that CIU does well, is help, either directly or indirectly, help us to discover specifics about where God is taking us and how God wants to use us. We need to know how we contribute. Often we are people, you know, we like counting, and we attach value to our counting. We count money. We count members. We count measurements in square footage. And we believe that those who have the most are more valuable and can contribute more to the kingdom than others. But, you know, to God, a church that has 50 members is just as valuable as a church that has 5,000 members. To God, a church that has an annual income of a budget of 100,000 is just as valuable as a church that has a budget of 1 million. A church that sits on a quarter of an acre is just as valuable as a church that sits on 100 acres. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. Because any of those churches at any size, if they're not proclaiming the gospel, then God will view that not about the numbers. It's about our purpose. It's about who we represent and who we proclaim. So we have to value what we contribute, whether our church is Baptist in name or not, whether your church is named church, fellowship, ministry, doesn't matter. Whether it's a old country church, or if it's a urban ministry in the city, whether it's in a more affluent side of town or more poor side of town, to God, it really doesn't matter. Whether it's a different denomination, if it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ and that's who they're lifting up, it really doesn't matter. We have to value what each of us bring to the table. Whether it's ministering to a distinct culture or it's a multicultural ministry, it doesn't matter. God values them the same. And lastly, not only from the same source, not only from having the same purpose, recognizing our need for one another, appreciating what we contribute, but if we can appreciate our differences, as I heard Dr. Jones say this morning, then that would be a joint, an element, a linchpin that we can proclaim the gospel even though we're diverse. We don't have to be the same. That's what Paul says in verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? And it's rhetorical, and the answer is no. All are not the same member, but we are diverse. But if we appreciate our differences and see what we can, how we can complement each other, we can work together. Don't have to be the same. But don't discount me because I look different or because my service is different. Don't discount me because my gift is not like your gift. Not everybody is called to be an evangelist. There are other areas in the body that are needed, that if we learn how to work together. You know, I learned something, and I'm almost to my close, but I learned something in ministry and leadership. And I learned from Dr. Andre Rogers. He was my pastor when I served with him at now Concord Fellowship. And the thing that he would often say to me is, don't try to strengthen your weak areas. He says, staff to your weak areas. Work in your strengths. Because none of us are called to be everything. You know, if you got all the gifts, well, you don't need the church. Actually, you Jesus Christ. But because we don't have all the gifts, we need each other. And it's okay if I'm the elbow, because the elbow needs the arm. The arm needs the wrist, and the wrist needs the hand. I don't need to be everything, but when I understand who I am and what God has gifted me and how he's wired me, then those areas that I'm weak, I can staff to my weakness. I don't have a high gift of administration, but I thank God that he surrounds me with good administrators so that I can shepherd and I can teach and I can pastor and I can delegate those things, not relinquish entire. I still have a responsibility as a leader, but I can delegate to them and I can release them to do what they do best. Your weakness is somebody else's strength. I love my wife because she's not like me in a lot of ways. If she was, I don't think we would get along at all. But because she's different, she compliments me. She makes me look good. Because without her, I wouldn't look as good as I look. And I'm not boasting. I'm really thankful that he paired me up with somebody who compliments me. We can be different if we can appreciate that how we compliment each other and what you're doing well, I can learn from, and what I do well, you can learn from. Man, we can grow together and we can present the gospel seamlessly. Just like the body moves, poetry in motion, harmoniously, and people really will see Christ because they'll know that we are his disciples because we're so close together and have love for one another. Father, we thank you so much as we think about this concept that sounds oxymoronic, but it works. You use unity through diversity. One God with one message about one Savior, carried through by one vehicle, the body of Christ. We're one body, but we're different. And as Paul prayed and communicated, as Jesus prayed in his priestly prayer, Lord, make us one, just like you and him is one. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.